Are you ready for the startup experience of a lifetime? Three determined guys building their dreams and sharing their journey. Buckle up and grab a beer, because these guys will blow your mind. You're locked in to the Jerusalem Hub audio experience, and it all starts in three, two, one.
Hello, welcome to the Jerusalem Hub audio experience. I'm Shalom Makowitz.
I'm Aaron Manlowitz. Oh, you pointed at me right.
What do you mean I pointed at you right?
No, you got it right. That's good.
Okay. That was weird. The purpose of this podcast is for us to show you what it's like to go through our journey of starting up a business and teaching you what we've learned as well as learn from you. And we're also live. So if you got any questions while we're doing this feed, we'll be happy to answer
please
them.
Post them up. Please post them up. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Share our content. We're doing this for you and for us as well. Just spread the love, share it, and like it.
Spread the love.
I think that was good.
Was that better? Was that loud enough for you?
That was much better.
It was much better. Okay, rock and roll.
You sound all happy and stuff.
Yay! Our first topic, our own favorite topic, it's finally here.
Oh, God.
It's finally surfaced. We're here to talk about education. The education system, to be more exact.
Is it my favorite topic?
Dude, I don't have to describe why it's your favorite topic. You can
but other people want to know why.
But here's my first question for you.
You're asking me or are you asking
me? Well, I'm asking people out there. I'm asking you because I want to hear what your input is. And I also have some input that I jotted down here on my computer. But here's the first one. What is it about education that people say that it's obsolete or outdated? Do you want me to start?
What is it that people say
about education that makes it obsolete? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, define that a little bit more.
Okay, so I'll define it such as this. Basically, I'm going to go on the offensive and say that it's outdated in the sense that we have everything at our fingertips. You can literally learn everything you want on this phone.
Yep.
There's YouTube, there's Khan Academy, there's all these things, there's Google, etc. There's online schooling that people can do where they can self-educate themselves. And I believe that classical education is no longer a thing that's viable for the majority of people. I think it works for people. But it works for a very minute.
Some people like the structure of an educational system.
In terms of like classes, like scheduling structure.
But it could be that there's an underlying myth behind what education is.
So another thing that I would say is that due to the fact that we live in the information age.
Hashtag security.
Okay.
Yeah,
due to the fact that we live in the information age and we have everything at our fingertips, this also comes with a negative quality, which is a lack of an attention span.
Yeah.
I personally believe that people only learn what actually interests them. If music interests them, they learn that. If exercise interests them, they learn that. If playing video games interests them, they're going to do that, no matter what people tell them. And I think sitting in a class for 30 minutes to an hour or even more is like, it's like, wow, so I have to sit here and listen to this idiot talk about something where I could just like go on YouTube and watch something that's a lot more interesting or listen to someone who's a lot more educated that can teach it to me in 10 minutes. I think that's one of the biggest problems with classical education right now.
But a lot of people don't even think in those terms. They don't even get to the point of, I could just do this somewhere else on my own. People have this thought process that was grinded into people over the past 60 more years that being in a class system, going to college, I think we're talking about college for all intents and purposes.
No, I'm talking about everything as a whole. Like, truth be told, like even in Europe, they're changing the education system.
Yeah.
Like, kids are having less time in class, no homework, and more time outside to develop themselves and to be more curious and to ask questions and learn about things that they are curious about. I think that, although it sounds very progressive and it sounds very, what's the word I'm looking for? It sounds very out of the box, different.
Hippie-ish.
It happens to be that it caters to the mind of a child. A child doesn't want to sit in class for 30 minutes.
No.
And learn about the ABCs or science.
And they only get about half hour of recess a day. How long do
15
most
minutes.
Schools give for recess?
15 minutes, 20 minutes max.
So I think there's a few things that are on what the education system has now that people are still latching onto. It's the whole system, starting from elementary school, going to high school, doing well in it, SATs, regents, or your A levels or whatever it is in whatever country you're in, and then getting to that college. That all equals one thing for what people create in their mind, which was passed on from parent to child, from teacher to child,
100%.
Is the security that if you go in this line and you follow it through and through, you will get a job and you'll be able to...
But that classical system no longer works.
It never really worked. It was just something that they created.
Well, so here's the thing. Here's where I agree with you, but I'm agreeing to disagree as well. Like, the thing is that, yes, it didn't work, but there was a point in time where that was the way things worked, and it did work. The problem with it now is that the time where it was working was a long time ago.
It's still working now. Like, everyone is still, there's still people following in that route and doing that.
But the thing is that the education nowadays only caters to a handful of people. Mm-hmm. Only a handful of people can sit in a class for that long and to be valedictorians. Like,
I don't think those people are cut out for it.
No, I hear you but they're able to do it in the sense that like you know how like they'll always be ranking students in classes. Will be like, here's the top percentile, here's the medium percentile, here's the low percentile.
Yeah.
Like, what if there was a situation where there was no top, medium, or low? It was just people being kids being kids. Kids are kids. Kids are curious. Yeah. Kids are going to break things because they want to know how it breaks. You know what I mean?
You know, I could shift that all also into medicine. I see, like, I have a baby. He's growing up, and they also grade him. Like, oh, he's in the 50th percentile of this. He's in the 70th percentile of that. Like, okay, good. Is that going to have an effect on him when he's 25? Probably not.
Maybe.
It might. Most... chances are it probably won't make a difference.
Right.
But what was our point here?
The
grading system or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, also just to move on, like because classical education only works for a handful of people, it's interesting to note that we live in a world where creative people get rewarded now. Creativity is where the game is at. It's where business is at. It's all about creativity.
You're correct, but they're also still shunned. If I guarantee you, most kids who go out and say, I'm dropping out of college, they tell it to their parents, I'm dropping out of college and I'm pursuing my own dreams. Their parents will probably shun them. Their friends will say that's stupid.
Teachers will play. Oh, yeah, I agree with you. But
in the end, you're right. They're going to be rewarded in terms of how successful they are in life. And if you see that most people that go along with the degree system and they finish their degree and they get a job, or how many of those people actually got jobs in the degrees that they completed, how many of them actually can hold on to a job compared to those people? Like, you're right, in the end, like, maybe we could create a correlation. They do say that people that do have degrees, more of those people have higher paying jobs, but I really want to look at that statistic more.
Well, the only reason why most of those people have higher paying jobs is because the college dropouts are the ones who start the companies, and then they realize, like, oh, I'm going to start this company, and I'm going to hire someone who's
going to hire Kevin,
who's certifiably qualified to run this department for me.
Because he was a valedictorian.
Right. That's the only reason why that is.
Which is actually really interesting, if you think about it. As like, what do top CEOs do? They don't know everything. They usually hire people who are much smarter and more accomplished than they are in order to get their stuff done.
I'll do you better on that one. I don't think they're hiring people that are much smarter than them. I think they're hiring people who are more close-minded to the point that they see the task that has to be done, and they don't see past that task. Meaning,
they don't most put the pieces together.
Right, most people who start businesses or are doing something that's a risk, and that there's risk involved, they're big picture thinkers. They can focus on what's in front of them, but they're also focusing on what's going to happen. The like unlimited possibilities of what's going to happen afterwards, which is actually something that we're going to discuss in a second. So I think that although when people say the safe bet is to go to school, go to college, get the degree, get the job, it is the safe bet. But what you're sacrificing with that is that you're taking away creativity. Yep. Because creativity has to do with experience in life. And if you don't have experience in working hard and going through those...
freedom to do what you will.
And going through those shitty times where you have to kind of buckle down and be like, and like work beyond your limits and say, okay, this is a major learning experience. We spoke about this in the past. If you don't do that, then you're not allowing yourself to develop that creativity muscle.
But I think the thing about creativity is I'm gonna emphasize on the freedom of the creativity part, because when you're going through the school system, you are locked down to their curriculum and what they tell you to do. You can only do the equation this way, and if you do it incorrectly, or let's say you even do it right, but you do it your own way, the fact that you didn't do it the teacher's way, they're going to take off points.
When you buy a puzzle, there's only one way to put the puzzle together, is basically what you're saying.
That's what the educational system is saying.
100%.
But it's not true.
But I think anyone is capable of being creative. It's just once they take the safe bet and they say, like, you know, I'm just going to take the safe bet. I'm going to get my degree. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to be happy. Then they don't know how to be that creative, because it takes a creative person to be like, okay, I'm in a bind right now. Then what do I do to get out of it?
Then 5 years down the line, they're like, okay.
Yeah.
How do I... then they lock the creativity to figure out how to turn their 9-to-5 job into a... 4-hour-a-week type of job and still get paid.
The point that we're making it here is that something has to change, in the sense that learning arbitrary facts is pointless.
Yeah.
Like we should be more interested in focusing on critical thinking than learning arbitrary facts. So that's kind of what it's about. Like,
education.
Yeah. Another thing that here's my other question that I wanted to
right, I just wanted to, like, what's the word for it? To point out that we're not bashing education or anything. We're bashing the system. It's the system that's the problem.
100%. Education is insanely important.
In education, everyone should be.
But we're going to discuss themselves. That as well. I mean, in
that's like why soon. We read books. That's why we or pretend to read books. That's why we are constantly learning.
Yeah,
research, learning how to put things together, like building a business.
Mainly, what we're
daily learning.
Yeah, mainly what we're discussing is that the current system of education as it is now doesn't work for everybody, and that's like not a good thing. Especially, you know what I mean. So it's not really a good thing. It's like
it's a broken system.
Yeah,
that's always been broken.
That's really the issue that we're.
It's one of those broken things that people hold on to as hard as they can because they want it to last as long as possible. You know what I mean? I can't think of a really good... Oh, here's a good example. The girlfriend who can't break up with her boyfriend because it's not that simple.
You want to elaborate on that?
You know, the girl's like... They're like, why don't you break up with him? It's not He's that so simple. Mean. It's not that simple. My CDs are in his car. It's stuff like that. Like, there's stuff... People are still holding on to something within that system. The security. Everyone wants the security.
Yeah, true. But sometimes the interesting thing about the security is that
it's not.
Once you're in school, you make friends, you graduate with those friends. Guess what? Now that you graduated, you're all going to be fighting for the same job. You don't no longer friends. You don't have security, really. And if you weren't at the top in your class, then it's going to be a lot harder for you.
Let's say the company that you join folds, or you decide after college, I don't want to do that.
So there really is no such thing as security.
No.
Also, there's going into debt with when you go to school. You're paying for your future, but then with your future, you end up paying off your debt towards what you thought was going to be for your future.
Yeah, people could be spending 10 to 15 years paying off a 4-year degree.
It's crazy. Which
they didn't even need in the end.
Or didn't even use. Yeah. That's basically what you said.
That's why a lot of European colleges, they're really into not the... What America does is you have your BA or you have your general curriculum.
Yeah.
We have to learn, you have to learn history, you have to learn English, you have to learn arts, you have to do this and that. And you don't even get to the point of real solid education is or what you're trying, let's say you're trying to be an engineer or you're trying to do programming, you don't even start the real programming until like 2 years in, and you barely know anything, and you end up having to do a master's degree to become a computer engineer, which is another 2.5 years or more. Right. What European schools do, and also over here in Israel, they're doing a lot of, like, you got to pick what you're doing before you go to school, before you start. Because once you start, you're not learning any of that fluff, that the well-rounded education, which means nothing in whatever terms. You're learning what you need to learn right away. But even there, like, we could find flaws in the system. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my next thing that I want to discuss, maybe you don't know a lot about this. I do know about this a bit. Maybe you can elaborate if you know anything about this. But going still on the topic of education, I had a conversation with somebody, and we were talking about learning disabilities. And the question is that when people are diagnosed with learning disabilities, is it a crutch or is it a superpower? And what I mean by that is that I personally, I was diagnosed with learning disability. I have ADHD, and I think I might have a little bit of OCD. It's possible.
I think the mistake is that they called it a learning disability.
Right. That's the thing. So when you're a kid, you're not fully in control of what, you know, of your skills for that. Like, yeah. Just to be like broad, like to be general there. And the truth of the matter is that when you have these like learning disabilities, like what's ADHD? ADHD is focusing on a bunch of things at once. When I was sitting in class and my teachers would talk to my parents and be like, he can't focus. He's looking at this. He's focusing on the pencil on the floor. He's focusing on this, right? They're like, I don't know why I can't keep him still. I don't know what to do with him. But the thing is that it's not that it's a disability. It's that my focus was acute to everything around me.
Yeah.
I was aware of everything that's going on, which is, if you think about that, that's more of a superpower than it is a disability.
It's not a disability.
Not in the slightest bit.
And the fact that, like, I think most of the time people are misdiagnosed with ADHD, and it could be you don't even have ADHD.
No, I definitely have ADHD.
Clinical ADHD. Hell yeah, bro. I think most people don't even have that.
Well, so the thing is, what I found interesting was...
Like, just to elaborate on what I'm trying to say is that that's where the filing goes down. People are like, oh, we can't really relate to this person, and this person thinks on a totally different level, so obviously we have to give them this label, and this is how we deal with that.
Well, that's a possibility, but the thing that I did is I did some research, and I was trying to find successful, famous people that have learning disabilities.
Everyone.
So that's the interesting part, is that like, besides for, before I get into that, like I was discussing about somebody, like my sister has a learning disability. She's the youngest in my family. Mm-hmm. And I was identifying that she's dyslexic, right? She's dyslexic? Yeah. I was identifying the fact that because of the school that she's in a special kind of a school. It's not a special school, it's a regular school. But the interesting thing about this school is that they teach kids their strengths. So that they can then be creative and then figure out what kind of a field they want to be in. And my sister's only 11, and she's already learning about her strengths, and she's already getting options to go to certain schools to focus on certain topics, which I think is insane. I think it's really amazing. Cool. And the interesting thing is that dyslexia kind of is a different form of thinking. We're going to get into that in a second, but just to give you a list of like famous people that have learning disabilities, if anyone's heard of Richard Branson, do you know Richard Branson? He's the CEO of Virgin.
Yeah.
He has dyslexia. Justin Timberlake, ADHD, OCD. Whoever doesn't know who Justin Timberlake is, okay.
If you're not famous and really successful and you don't have OCD, then I don't know how you're rich and famous.
Then there's Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg, famous director, he has dyslexia. Charles Schwab.
No wonder I never understand his movies.
Are you serious?
I'm joking.
Oh, okay. Oh. I was making a bad joke. I was like, I totally like went way over my head. Whew. But Charles Schwab, he owns a bank and brokerage firm. You ever heard of Schwab? Like, maybe not. Okay.
Yes.
So he has dyslexia. Jay Leno has dyslexia. Anderson Cooper, who's a journalist, has dyslexia. That kind of doesn't make sense. Because he reads off a teleprompter, but he has dyslexia. There's this really cool story that I heard. I don't remember exactly who it's about. Basically, this guy, he built a business, and now he goes around he goes around like lecturing people. He basically had, I think he had some sort of a head injury, I'm not so sure, mm-hmm. where he like kind of lost a lot of
brain
function, whatever it is. I mean, he's totally normal. He started a business and he's super successful. But his favorite comic book growing up was X-Men. And the reason why X-Men was created was because of what it's about. It's about mutants mm-hmm. who are different than everyone else but have abilities. But people think that those abilities are really negatives, even though they're really positives, because it makes them outstanding amongst the other people.
Right.
And he really identified with the comic X-Men because that's what the comic was made for. It was made for kids who have learning disabilities, and they need someone to look up to. And the truth of the matter is, what did these mutants become? They became heroes.
Right.
And the interesting thing is that once you mature, once you become more like developed, and you know what you want to do with your life, you start to realize that that these learning disabilities are really superpowers that allow you to kind of focus on, like for me, I guarantee you I have ADD or ADHD, guaranteed. And I'm not boasting here because we just identified it as a superpower.
He's tooting his ADD horn,
but like I can focus on a lot of things at once, and I can also focus on the bigger picture and still stay focused within the game.
Yeah,
which now that I've kind of identified that, it's like, that's pretty damn interesting. And that's a problem that I have with the education system, is because when I was younger, I wasn't able to focus in class. Like, we don't know what the hell to do with this kid, which is interesting.
So I want to relate that back to what we originally spoke about, the first step of the educational system.
Yeah.
Security, putting things into a certain direction that people have to follow in order to get to that degree, to get to that dream job, to get that home with the nice grass patch in front with your little dog and your little boy, adopted boy named Timmy, like the picturesque family with their little minivan.
Yeah.
Like that you see in the commercials. So everyone wants to get to that, and they create a direction. This is how you do it. And then they encountered, oh, what do we do about these people who don't want to be in it? Let's label them as learning disabilities because they are not going to be able to follow in this path. So that's why I was trying to tie it to this, like what's learning disability and is it a crutch or a thing? According to the educational system, it's a problem because they're not following in their path. Mm-hmm. These people are not doing what it takes to get to...
Oh, because they're following a basic structure.
They're not even... These people don't fit within that structure, so how do we deal with them? We didn't create a curriculum or a class that could handle these type of people.
Right.
Our class is for people who sit down and pay attention the whole time. And if these people don't sit down and pay attention the whole time, then they're not going to make it... I can't pass them through third grade. I can't pass them through ninth grade. This guy can't get into my college. He's not gonna like. He has problems. He doesn't sit, and he's getting D's in all his class.
Right.
And then, so that's what I'm saying. Like the whole education system is broken.
All people do is just say that the person's stupid. And it's not that they're stupid.
When they go out on their own, they become billionaires.
Right. And the interesting thing about that is that as I was saying. Was that like when people don't know what to do with someone who has a learning disability, they're just like, oh, he's just dumb. And then if you tell a kid that they're dumb, yeah. then they're gonna believe that they're dumb, and they're never gonna do anything.
It's called inferiority complex.
Is that the word?
Yeah, like when someone tells you something that knocks you down just even once, you create that complex, that inferiority complex, which right. just like holds you down. And actually talk about it in the in Think and Grow Rich, that a lot of people are held back of reaching their ultimate goals, their ultimate power, because of inferiority complexes that were created by like someone right. telling you, oh, you have ADHD and therefore you can't do this and you're stuck here. Right. You're going to be in the special class because you can't handle what's going on with the people who are moving forward. Like I was always behind in math when I was in third grade. Like there's always this guy who was like two books ahead. I was always like struggling through.
Yeah, the funny thing is with me is that I was always behind in math too, but like I knew how to do the problems for some reason.
For me, I just didn't really care. I never really cared.
I hear that.
Like, you were roommates with me. How much did I care about going to class when I was there?
You didn't. You did not care at all.
But I went one. When
but you cared. Knew math. You definitely. Yeah. You helped me with my homework a few times.
Most of the math when we were in college, I taught myself. But that's a different issue.
Not a different that's issue. It's a different story.
It's a different story. That's resourceful comes in to hand, which is probably a whole other topic that we should probably have a podcast about resourcefulness.
We are. Oh, yeah, actually, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all. Maybe we'll do that. Either way, so about learning disabilities. For those of you who are listening that have a learning disability and always thought of it as a crutch, it's not a crutch. It's the ability. It's like an extra ability that you have that you may not understand now, but you'll definitely understand in the future.
Yeah.
Like ADD / ADHD is the ability to multitask and tackle a bunch of things at once. Dyslexia is a different kind of creative / critical thinking. OCD,
you view things in different ways.
OCD is a perfectionist. I know a lot of people think that perfectionism is like a negative way of looking at things, but no. Perfectionists are the ones who actually do things the right way, and until it's not done, you know, it's actually a positive quality.
They're an asset.
Yeah, 100%. And if you don't have a learning disability and you're listening to this and you basically realize that we told you don't have a superpower, you're in luck, because it doesn't matter, because you can build on those skills. You can, just like you can build on discipline, and you can, everything takes time. So just keep in mind out there, whoever is trying to do something, has an idea, wants to be creative, wants to understand, but they've always had a crutch and they've been told, like, oh, I have a learning disability, I can't do this, I can't do that. That's not true, because learning disabilities are, it's like an extra ability that gives you a different value of thinking. Different value of looking at certain tasks. The next question I have is, what would you do to change the education system?
I have a vast opinion on that. When I was working for a high school with kids at risk, those are kids who have addictions and stuff, I came across this book about this educational system that was created by this school in England. Did I ever tell you about this book? Probably. I don't even remember name of it. I don't remember the name of it, but it changed my life the moment I read the book. I read the book from cover to cover. I have to remember the name. Either way, the whole point of this was this educational system, they were starting from kids from, I think, like five or six all the way to the end of high school. It was all about equality, letting the kids do as they choose. He would take the worst kids on the street, or the kids who didn't want to, even just regular kids, who didn't want to learn. And, a lot of them became like really highly successful in their life. So the whole purpose of the school was that everyone in the school has a say, whether you're five, whether you're a teacher, no matter what, you could do whatever you want. Show up to class. If you're not going to class, do an art project. If you don't want to do any of that, you have to at least be doing something. That's the main rule. When they had conferences, meetings, the whole school showed up to the meeting. And whenever the five-year-old wanted to speak, everyone had to listen. Everyone had to give, pay attention, and whatever that five-year-old said was just as acceptable as the principal of the school. Everything that went down was all in equals.
But so so I understand, they basically allowed everyone to express themselves without any bias or judgment.
No judgments.
And what did that do to?
So what ended up happening is that, like, they all obviously they had a curriculum, they had to have classes, but no one had to go to class. They had freedom of choice to go to class, but if they're not going to class, then go do art, go play sports, just be doing something.
And people were succeeding?
People were succeeding. So what happened was, one of the stories that hit me there was a kid. He was like reaching the end of school there. He just did nothing all day. And he went to the principal and he said, like, I think I want to do electrical, like an engineering, like for houses and stuff. So he's like, okay, if you want to do that, this is what you're going to have to do in order to get to that point in life. So he's like, okay. So he finished all of his high school work and stuff in like 2 years time that he needed to get it done, and he got hired as a electrical engineer, like, and he's very successful.
Damn.
Just because it was only because he was brought along the path that he decided to go himself. He wasn't forced into something. He's like, I want to do this now, even though I know I'm like 10th grade already and I haven't done anything. Like, they're like, okay, that's amazing.
That's actually really cool. See, because you're allowing people to do what they want, which is a big deal. Like, I don't think people understand that. When someone's doing what they want, they put all their effort and energy into it. And then once you allow them to do what they want, then they start to realize what they actually want to do in life. And then you give them the guidance to pursue that, and they become successful. Wow, that makes
and focus sense. And the more thing is the guidance. They didn't say, like, oh, you have to do this and this. This is the curriculum you'll most likely have to do.
Yeah.
Just get it done in your own time. And you'll get to where you want to get to. Like, that's the whole point. Like, everyone has their own choices. Everyone's say is just as good as everybody else's.
Right.
And that not only for education, what should change, but I think that's also a very big guideline in parenting and raising kids, because that also comes hand in hand with education.
100%. That's amazing. I hope they start doing that in other places.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine a school?
Otherwise,
you could just go to, and you'll know that I don't have to go to class. Like, that, I think most people would go there just because they don't have to go to class. But
eventually find something to do.
I think that's what they're giving that freedom to figure out what they want to do with themselves.
Because they'll see everyone else doing stuff, and they're like, okay, well, I got to do something now. So they say, what do you like to do? I like to play video games. Like, okay, go play video games.
Yeah, like, you could open a Twitch channel and start making money that.
Like, that's honestly.
Did you start that, by the way?
We did start it. We have not been successful yet, but I did start that. I don't have time to do that stuff. To me, video games is still, like, off-time stuff. Until, like, I can figure out how to do it, I'll definitely check it out. But, yeah, honestly, I hope they start opening schools like that more, like in other places. Because, I mean, let's be truthful. You have a kid, right?
Yeah.
I don't have any kids yet. Hopefully I will one day. One thing that really scares me is that I don't want to send my kids to a classical educational place. I don't want to send my kids to a place where they're either going to succeed or fail. I want to send them somewhere where they're going to succeed. So what do you want to do with your kid?
So
You may not have the answer to that question now, but
I think not a lot of people are into this, but it's something that I was talking about with my wife. Was she's really wants to do the homeschooling,
really?
Track. It's not a
What about friends and social life and stuff like that.
So
that's also important.
It's very important, friends and social life, but there's many different ways around that, and most of the time, like, the friends and social life that you create are mainly out of school. Like, how many friends, and was your social life and friends built out of
it was built
your friends
school.
In school?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. It's a really good question.
I mean, when
don't say homeschooling. I said it.
when you go, I'm saying when your kid goes to school, that's the first time he's exposed to other people.
Yeah.
He makes friends, they grow up, whatever it is, and then at some point they go their separate ways, but that's where he's going to be making his friends.
So let's say you're right.
And that's important. Social interaction is very important.
According to who?
You don't think social interaction is important?
We're social beings, and social interaction is very important.
If you don't know
who says social interaction has to come from school? In fact, you could probably...
I don't think it's... Yeah.
Think about it this way. Let's say you send... you do homeschooling, and the kid's like, oh, I want to learn how to ice skate or something. Then you send him to a class for an hour a day with kids he'll meet there to learn ice skating. Or they go on a... Like, in Israel, they have a lot of these after-class type of gatherings of people who learn or do different things together. So that's also a social gathering.
So, but I'm not talking about school. I'm saying for a child's development, to learn how to socially interact with people is very important. Mm-hmm. And I think that most kids.
So let me ask you, socially interacting with parents is not social interaction?
It is social interaction, but your parents are your parents. You know what I mean? Your parents are your parents have been changing your diapers and doing your laundry and doing all these things. You can be vulnerable in front of your parents. You know what I'm saying?
Or not.
But as a kid growing up, like your kid specifically. I mean, he's your first kid. He's doing, you know what I mean? He's going, parents are parents. It's not the same thing.
Listen, I'm not planning on locking up in a box and saying you can't go anywhere.
You're not going to Harry Potter him, like stick him under the staircase and not let him leave the house?
No.
And tell him that Hogwarts exists, even though it doesn't?
I'm going to tell him Hogwarts exists, but I'm not going to lock him in a...
You can take him to a train station, tell him to run into a wall as fast as he can so he can go to the train to the Hogwarts.
It's actually a funny idea.
I was actually telling these people, I was at a Shabbat meal, and I was telling these people, they're like, where do you live? I was like, I live in a Hogwarts, and I live in a Harry Potter tent. It's like one of those tents that looks like a regular tent, but it's just, it's a really huge, extravagant tent. It's like, really? They have one of those? Like, yeah. You just go to one of the trees, and you just run as fast as you can into it, and you'll be inside my tent. They're like, really? I'm like, are you serious?
Listen, like, you're completely correct about the social thing, but I don't think there is a way in the world to raise a kid, even if you're doing homeschooling. Like, if that were the biggest issue, then I think homeschooling would be outlawed completely. Like, because you're totally destroying the...
Here's the thing.
I haven't done enough research, so, like, I can't say...
No, I hear you. I'm just curious. I'm not going to tell you that homeschooling is not the way to go. I think homeschooling is cool, but... Truth of the matter is, you have to be on top of it. You have to make sure your kid's getting educated, and you have to make sure your kid has a social life. If you can do those three things, which are not easy things to do, especially when you have to provide for a family, take care of a family, clean up a house, do all these things, those three things are the main things. Social life, make sure you're on top of the kid's education, and like make sure, you know what I mean? Those are important things.
Unless you're antisocial.
Right, but even antisocial people have people that they're social with.
It's true.
So... That was
my point from before.
I'm not knocking homeschooling. I'm just curious. Because I don't want to send my kid to a normal school. I want to send my kid to a school where they're going to succeed in life. And I don't have to be like...
So let's open a school like that model of that...
Did you see this thing? Actually, I saw that. I think they're doing it in either Japan or China. I think it's Japan. Where the school is basically one big playground. And it goes in a circle, and the kids just run around and do whatever the hell they want. And whenever they have a question about something, there's always someone standing by there. It's like, what's your question? This. And they teach them about it right there on the spot.
That is amazing.
It's interesting. If you let your kids run and have fun and make mistakes on their own, they will develop as very successful human beings in whatever they do.
Which spurred a thought, actually. You know, people are like, oh, kids don't want to learn. Kids just want to play all day. Kids want to learn all the time. Yeah. If you think about it, how many times have you asked your parents questions growing up?
Yeah, 100%. Daddy, like, what's the soap for? It's for cleaning yourself.
Why is the sky blue?
Because it's blue. But yeah.
Are you sure? Yeah.
Kids always want to know, and that's the thing. Parents, truth of the matter is that education generally comes from home. Kids are learning more... Kids learning more when they're out of school, when they're actually in school, which is something that I was actually going to get into, which is basically like everything I learned in school, I don't remember a damn thing. I maybe remember like, I'm going to say I remember 15% of everything I learned in school throughout my whole time of being in school. And that's not a knock on education. It's just that I wasn't interested in sitting in class and being forced to learn something I didn't want to learn. When I wanted to learn something, I remember it. And when did I usually remember things that I wanted to learn? Is when I was doing it on my own time and I was interested in doing it. So my question is what have you learned from your own education?
Nothing. I can't remember anything.
In class?
No, but you're right. When we were in college together, I think I learned more in the dorms than in school itself.
I do too. I don't remember a damn thing, I'll be honest with you.
And everything that I learned in school, I taught myself.
Yeah.
Can I remember anything that I learned in class?
One plus one is two.
I remember getting yelled at for not paying attention. Oh! I got yelled at by the teacher for spitting a spitball at him.
Okay, so that's what he learned. Don't spit spitballs.
No, but I still did it.
But you see, he wanted to spit the spitball, and that's why he remembered that from school.
Because that's what I wanted to do.
See, said good, say better. I can't, because I just did. But yeah.
When you decide to learn something with your own free will, with your own freedom, like, you don't have to learn it, but I want to learn it, then you're going to learn it.
Yeah, 100%. Everything you want to do.
So really, there is no, like, real solution. Like, homeschooling is not a solution itself, because if the kid doesn't want to learn what you're teaching in homeschool, then he's not going to learn it either.
And this is somewhere like for anyone to start. Anyone who's out there trying to figure out what the strengths and weaknesses are and what they want to do in life. And it's a tough decision. Like, even I don't, like, I have a hard time with that as well. Just think about what you like to do, what you enjoy doing, what gets you excited, what you, and just write them down and say, like, okay, these are the things I like to do. Pick one and go with it. Like, for example, this past week, I've been trying to work on this podcast, and I'm very passionate about doing this podcast, so I listened to other podcasts to do research, and I was figuring it out and changing things around, and I'm learning how to do something that I find enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I'm getting better at it. I think I'm getting better at it.
I think he's getting better
at it. My mother says I'm getting better at it, but generally she's very biased, so I don't listen to her. But I'll take it anyways. But, like, I think I'm getting better at it. So that's pretty much education. If anyone who's listening that's live or listening to this later on, please, we'd love to see your comments below. If you have any questions or anything you want to add about education, what you would change about the education, mm-hmm. whether you disagree with us, you know, what you've learned.
My sister-in-law disagrees. She was watching. She wrote, "Don't say homeschooling."
Well, she disagrees about homeschooling, but she didn't say anything about education itself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So, but either way, if you have anything you want to add, we will definitely be there to respond to your comments. We want to engage with you. And this is a huge topic. We'll probably talk about it again in the future,
most likely. Yeah, we actually fill up a lot of time with this one, and we could probably talk a lot more
about So, it. Moving on. So we got Bezos and Musk.
Oh boy.
Getting into competition. This actually kind of blew me away. But I'll let you take
it. There's a lot more to talk about. Like, we're going to go over it briefly. But I really hope we could do a podcast about it. The space race. The great space race. The
space race.
And we could fill
like a whole hour about this. Like, privatized space race. This is like...
Yeah, so exactly. That's what I was trying to tell you. Like, this is a whole privatized thing. We have Elon Musk doing his thing. We have a whole other company. We have Jeff Bezos. They all have different plays in the whole game.
You want to tell people who Bezos is?
I don't know who Bezos is.
Are you serious? Actually,
honestly,
He's the guy who started Amazon.
Oh, okay. That's embarrassing.
I'm pretty sure I got... Let me just double check to see if I'm right about that.
I don't think so, actually. Either way.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, Amazon. 100%. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Chief Executive Officer and Founder of Amazon.
So, yeah. So, he launched a rocket the other day, and that whole... You probably have the article right there, too.
Oh, yeah. It's right here.
The Blue Origin... You know what it looks like? I'm not going to say.
My brother read it. He thought it said Blue Organ.
It's disgusting.
What blew my mind about this is that Jeff Bezos started an e-commerce website, and I didn't think he had anything to do with science. And I guess one day he just woke up and decided to go into competition with Elon Musk, which I think is really interesting.
So what did he launch up? He launched up this. He launched up a dummy because he wants to simulate the idea of sending people space travel.
Yeah,
because he wants to send people up to space for like a trip.
Which essentially is going to be better for all of us because now that Elon Musk has competition, the tickets to go to space are going to be a lot cheaper.
Look, when Elon Musk started doing this, he was welcoming competition. He pioneered this whole thing just so people would start doing it themselves. He was trying to inspire the world to get into the space race.
Yeah.
And now he's getting backlash. Besides for all the people who are conspiracy theorizing that theorists. It's all fake.
Yeah.
But the whole play of Elon Musk was that he was building vehicles to transport satellites and materials,
but also up into space as well.
Eventually, passengers. He wants to go to Mars, yeah, and probably the moon. I want to build a satellite. It's my goal over the next 3 years.
Okay.
I get the okay. No, I'm going to do it. Like, it's not a joke. I'm already reaching out to people. Anyway, so that's the space race. Like, actually, Elon Musk got criticized by Boeing for his latest rocket, the Falcon Heavy, which is extremely powerful.
Why did he get criticized? Because it wasn't by Boeing.
Boeing was criticizing him.
Why?
Because it wasn't big enough. That thing is massive. It's like 8, 10, 16 stories high or something like that. I don't know. Really powerful. Anyway, that's like really in short of the space race. I really want to go into depth about it. There's so much to say. Yeah. So that's what's new. Jeff Bezos in the game.
Kind of crazy.
On Amazon.
Another thing out there that I thought was kind of interesting we could briefly talk about is Uber Eats.
They've been around for a while, actually.
They have been?
Yeah. I've
heard about them. This is the first time I've heard of them. They're apparently in the food business now, which I find interesting. How does it work?
It works just like, think about Uber. You call someone and some random private guy in his ugly car comes to me and pick you up. No one caught that.
I did. So, I caught that.
Yeah.
Stories. I chose not
to. So it's the same thing. You order food. Some random guy.
That's so weird.
Some random guy who was like, oh, I want to make some money and I'm on Uber Eats. I'm going to go pick up the food for this guy and bring it to his house. That's Uber Eats.
That's like, that's so weird.
Meaning every restaurant could deliver. That's the whole thing about it. Think about restaurants that don't deliver in the first place. Now they have delivery.
No, I get it. It's a crazy idea. And actually going on the whole education thing, that's being creative.
Yeah.
It's about being creative. The company Uber,
they're trying to apply their idea to every possible
thing. But that's just I can't believe some random dude's going to come and... I guess that's no different than some random dude who already works for the place delivering my pizza. So yeah. That's pretty crazy.
So let's sign up. And do they have it in Israel, Uber Eats?
I doubt it. They don't have Uber in Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're trying to.
Books-wise, I think we're both reading the same stuff we were reading last week.
Yeah.
I'm reading 12 Rules to Life. You're reading...
Think and Grow Rich. I had this comment about it. Someone, I'll shout him out right now. His name is... I don't know if anyone heard of him. Where is this? I have to go into my Twitter. We actually have no questions. But
we have questions?
I didn't see any.
Oh, okay.
So his name is... Louis Hose. Or Louis Hose. He was going to play football and he's really big. He started getting big on LinkedIn and meeting people and networking. Anyway, so he asked a question what are your top three books? So one of them, obviously the top one was Think and Grow Rich. And he asked why. So my reason for that is because it's not about money. Think and Grow Rich is not a money book. It's not about getting rich, even though it says it's all about that. There's one thing that he keeps saying, there's a secret to this book that one day you'll get. And I feel like I pinpointed it. The whole point of Think and Grow Rich is not about getting rich. It's about tapping into your power and doing everything you want. Anyway, so that's why I'm studying it deeply and trying to just break it apart until I know every one of those steps back and forth and I'm applying it. It's hard work.
Maybe I should do the same. Maybe I'll do the same.
It's going to take a while, but...
No, it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
I will definitely be taking your advice and doing the same thing. In any sense, you can go... To see the books that we've read, you can go to...
JerusalemHub.com/books. And you will get... If on there, on that page, there's a link to Audible where you get 2 free...
Audiobooks.
Get it while it's hot. And it's a great deal.
All the books listed there are books.
Why wouldn't you do it?
All the books listed are books that we recommend towards, building your mind for a better life or being successful, uh-huh. Whatever, what have you. And they all have descriptions written about what they're about.
Right.
And
I'm going to link it right now so you guys can check it out.
Pick one and check it out. Also, I have a plug that I'm going to put in for someone here. Another book list that you can check out is Brandon's book list on Facebook. He has the same kind of concept where it's just a bunch of different books about entrepreneurial stuff and growing stuff. And yeah, Brandon's book list. Check it out on Facebook.
Amazing.
Good,
packed podcast. I'm really impressed. Man.
Thank you.
Shout out to Sheldon for that one.
Yay.
Hooray.
So, moving on. Keep on keeping on. How do you keep on keeping on? Do you know what I mean by that?
How do you keep on keeping on? It's hard. When you go through transitions and changes and new things, how do you stay in that route? Especially when you hit downtimes.
Yeah.
I'm sure we hit a few over the past.
We hit them all the time.
Yeah. I can't say this enough. It's all about marking down your passion and your whys. And once you have that, chiseled in your brain and in your psyche, nothing will stop you at that point. That's what it's all about. You got to go down to the root of yourself.
Yeah.
And have that so in tune and so tight that when you hit those like small, those lower dips in life or whatever, that, or you think like, why the heck am I still doing this? You might hit that and you might encounter it, but then suddenly your why will pop in your head because it's so deeply ingrained within you.
Yeah.
Your whole passion will be like, boom, in your head. Like, oh, that's why. And then you're back up. You're back up to where you were in the first place.
Right. So I have something I wrote down over here. Is it a war or a challenge? Many people look at the various challenges in life as if they're doing battle. The inherent problem with this mindset is that every failure affects personal injury. Personal injury breeds fatigue. Instead, think of everything you need to do as a challenge and every failure as an opportunity for iteration. You know what that means?
Yeah.
It's pretty powerful stuff. In any sense, just simply put, every challenge you have, everything that seems to be hurting, everything that makes things difficult, just look at it as something that you need to, it's like a hump that you need to get over. We're all going to get over it. If you look at failure as the opportunity to perfect what you were planning on doing.
Right, I've been working really hard on removing the word failure from my vocabulary in the first place. Like, but I'm changing the word failure into an outcome.
Yeah,
meaning it didn't come out the way I expected it to. That doesn't mean that I failed. That means I approached it in the wrong way, so I have to change my approach.
Right.
It's like, think about it this way. You're trying to tell someone to... You're trying to tell your brother something, and he's just not getting it.
Right.
Like, come on, man. Like, just...
I usually just take a hammer and hit him in the head.
Right, so that's... If he's not... listening to in the first place, so you change your approach and you grab the hammer and you smash him over the head.
Yeah, that's what
you change your approach, and then you got the result that you wanted to. So the whole point is that it's not a failure, you just didn't get the outcome you expected, so you switched up your game and you pulled out the hammer, you smashed him over the head, and you got what you wanted.
Right.
It's as simple as that. But yeah, it's all about like just, that's what I'm saying, like you go down to the root. You steady your whys, and then even these outcomes, they look like successes.
Right. And if I could just leave you with a little quote here. Life is hard. Challenge yourself to do... Life is hard. Challenge yourself to change just a little bit every week. In 52 weeks, you won't recognize yourself. Improvise every little day towards a weekly goal and change your life 1 week at a time.
Nice.
Yep. And we challenge you that on the topic of
challenge.
It's not a crazy challenge, but it's a challenge no less. On the topic of iteration, of changing your life, just tell us how you've changed your life every day just a little bit. Tell us what you're doing. Give us your strides. Write it in the comments or write it on Facebook, whatever it is. Get in touch with us. We want to hear about how you're mm-hmm. changing your life.
Even getting out of your comfort zone and telling us that is a growth.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, once you start doing that, we'll start telling you about us. I mean, we've already told you about what we're doing, but just tell us about what the steps you're taking. And there's no such thing as big, small, minute. A step is a step,
yeah.
And it's a step in the right direction. And you know, and also
not taking a step is.
And
step backwards.
For those of you who are just stumbling upon this video and have just heard this part, we implore you, all of you, to please hit that like button, comment, share, subscribe on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah,
keep up
share
with us
everywhere.
If you like this video, we it really helps us out for you to subscribe.
And if you didn't like it, give us some feedback. We're always open to growing 100%. And changing.
And with that being said, this concludes episode 17.
Episode 17, wow.
Of the Jerusalem Hub Audio Experience. Thank you for those who joined us on the live feed. Thank you for those who are listening to who are going to be listening to us when it is out on YouTube and on Facebook and all that stuff. And we will see you next week.
Yeah. And with that, we end.